curious explorers get ready to embark on a remarkable journey with random ventures of an indie traveler. Your passport to captivating tales and intriguing facts about some fascinating destinations, guided by your host, Casey. Don't forget to keep an ear out for those special episodes where we dive into the enchanting realm of cryptids and legends based on these locations. Join us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon, iHeartRadio, and more to satisfy your wanderlust. Now, here is the host of Random Ventures of an Indie Traveler.
Hey, awesome wanderers. Today we're unraveling the mysterious connection between cats, dogs, and the infamous Salem Witch Trials. Let's go.
Mythical creature and legend alert.
If you can, imagine yourself in colonial Salem, where cats roam the streets as silent protectors, keeping watch over homes and barns alike. These furry companions were cherished for their ability to control the rodent population, earning their keep as valued members of the households. Cats, with their enigmatic gaze and nocturnal habits, became entangled in the web of superstition surrounding the trials. While not directly accused themselves, they were sometimes associated with witches and their alleged familiar spirits. In European folklore, they were believed to be familiars, supernatural beings aiding witches in their magical endeavors. Amidst their practical utility, cats carried with them an air of superstition. But let's not forget one of our furry friends who prowls the streets of Salem in both history and Hollywood. I'm talking about Thackeray Binks, the immortal black cat from Hocus Pocus. While he may not have been sipping on pumpkin spice lattes with the Sanderson sisters during the trials, his fictional tale adds a perfectly playful twist to Salem's mystical narrative. Whether he's battling witches on the silver screen or chasing his tail through history, Binks proves that in Salem, even cats have a flair for drama and mischief. Here's to Binks, the feline legend who reminds us that sometimes all you need to save the day is a quick wit, a sharp claw, and a whole lot of catitude. While cats were indeed present in Salem during the trials, there truly is little concrete evidence to suggest they played a significant role in the events that unfolded. Instead, their association with witchcraft likely stemmed from centuries-old superstitions imported from Europe, a reminder of the enduring power of folklore and myth. Alrighty, let's hit the fast-forward button to the crazy days of the Salem Witch Trials, where fear and paranoia were running wild in the streets. Accusations of witchcraft were spreading like gossip at a tea party, and if something even remotely weird went down, you can bet it was cause for suspicion. Alrighty, it's time for an interesting question. How do you think the trials would have affected cats' reputations in Salem? A. Catnip-filled thrones for all, with cats ruling the town. B. Suspicion and fear, with cats hiding from prying eyes. C. High status as cute, mysterious creatures, sought after for their wisdom. Or D. Celebrity status, with townsfolk seeking their company for protection. I definitely like to think it's A. Catnip-filled thrones. Hey, cats could be rulers, right? In some places, they actually are. Doesn't sound like a terrible idea, I think. Cats are pretty smart, after all. And I think they'd make some pretty wise and awesome choices. From cunningfolk.com, it tells about this scene during the Salem Witch Trial chaos. There's Tituba, who was an enslaved woman and was caught up in the madness. At first, she's maintaining her innocence, but then the pressure mounts. They're bombarding her with questions, and she eventually caves. Now, check this out. Tituba starts sharing some pretty interesting stuff. She's talking about these two massive cats that are as big as a smallish dog in those days. I mean, I don't think chihuahuas were really existing at that point. So maybe like a small to medium dog in today's world. But one was red, one was black. They were strutting around like they owned the place. And hey, guess what? They're telling her to serve them. Sounds a bit odd, right? Kind of spooky. But then, Tituba's not done sharing. She's also mentioning this yellow bird that's apparently her sidekick in all things witchy. Reminds you a bit of those daemons from Philip Pullman's book and movie, The Golden Compass, doesn't it? If you've seen or read it, makes you wonder if there's a connection there. Anyway, yeah, familiars, they're like your BFFs, but with a supernatural twist. And who knows, maybe your pet has some secrets up its furry little sleeves. Just kidding. Or am I? Totally kidding. Anyway, moving on. Months down the line, there's another wild claim on the table, this time from Sarah Wilson Sr. She spilled the beans during her examination. And guess who's taking notes? Reverend Increase Mather, ready to jot down every spooky detail. When they asked Sarah about the disappearance, she didn't hold back. She described it clear as day. And get this, she talked about it looking like a cat. I mean, talk about unexpected, right? Is it just a coincidence from Tituba's claim? So let's pause for a moment and try to separate fact from fiction. In the colorful history of Salem witch trials, we find Samuel Wardwell, who, like others accused, wore many hats, such as Quaker, amateur fortune teller, a skilled cattle whisperer, and others claimed he was a witch. I mean, not a lot of people can talk to cows, right? So here's the scoop on old Wardwell. He found himself tangled up in a bizarre tale involving some seriously strange cat encounters. If you could imagine, 20 years before the trials kicked off, Wardwell stumbled upon a downright strange scene. A bunch of cats gathered round, led by this dude claiming to be the Prince of the Air. Talk about odd. Now let's fast forward to that grim end of the trials. Poor Wardwell met his fate at the gallows, just like many others that were swept up in all that hysteria. It's a wild ride, guys and gals. One minute you're chilling with some cats, and the next swinging from a noose. Ugh, history just hasn't been so kind, not always, sadly. Alright, check this out. There's this lesser-known, but seriously bizarre part of the Salem witch trials that I just had to share with you. It's called a witch cake. And let me tell you, it's way less magical and delicious than it might sound. I mean, you associate witches with candy, but yeah, nope, this is not the case at all. So, this is a mix of rye meal and urine, and I think there's another component in there, but it's urine from the supposed witch, and it's whipped up into this gross concoction, like a potion, and then it's fed to a poor doggo to sniff out the witch. Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's how it was in the witch trial days. But, I mean, who comes up with this stuff? Like, did they seriously think the dog would suddenly become some kind of magical detective, like Sherwoof Holmes or something? Pointing its paw at the witch like, gotcha! And then what? Do they accuse the dog of witchcraft for having a good sniffer? And then what happens to the poor pup? I mean, I don't know. It's just pretty strange. But here's the kicker. They believe that a witch's magic could be broken by ingesting something connected to them. And I guess it doesn't get much more personal than pee, right? I'm sure you'll think about that next time you're on the old John. With that being said, it's important to note that urine cakes were not an effective means of identifying witches in the midst of Salem's madness. Even the strangest methods were believed to hold power, but this one just didn't really do much. Quick PSA, folks, whether you're suspecting someone of being a witch or not, please, for the love of all things furry, do not make and feed them witch cakes. That's just, ugh, it's just cruel. Don't do that, please. Now, here is a mind-bending question for you. Would you rather be tasked with baking a witch cake using the traditional recipe, which includes urine as one of the ingredients, and feeding it to a dog to attempt to break a witch's curse, or risk facing trial as an accused witch without any means of proving your innocence? Alrighty, so let's dive into both sides of the witch cake debate. Well, let's look at pros first. So maybe you can imagine yourself with your cauldron bubbling away in a sprinkle of courage, whipping up a potion so daring that even the boldest witch just might pause. Baking the witch cake isn't just about proving innocence. It's about shaking up Salem's superstitions and showing those skeptics that you've got a few more tricks than they had ever imagined. Now, if you're against the witch cake, hold on to your broomsticks. While the idea of baking a witch cake might sound like a scene straight out of the Great Witch Bake Off, let's not forget the fine print. Feeding this concoction to a poor pup. It's not just a leap of faith, but it's just like diving into the unknown, you know? Let's leave the cauldrons to the pros, shall we? Now, looking at the other side, if you're risking facing trial as an accused witch, the pro here is, hey, who needs witch cake when you got witch sharper than a witch's hat? Facing trial is like starring in your own Salem saga, where reason takes a backseat to hysteria and the only magic you need is the power of your own resilience. Though, let's be honest and real, that doesn't always win against mass hysteria when it comes down to it, right? And then against facing trial as an accused witch. Before donning that pointy hat, remember this. In a courtroom filled with fear and suspicion, innocence might not be enough to sway the jury. Sometimes it's better to keep your cauldron locked away tight and let reason be your guide. So which would you choose? Would you choose to do the cake or risk facing trial? Which one would be better? I don't know. It's hard to say. You can email me what you think at randommanytraveler@gmail.com or check out the Facebook group with the same name as this podcast. You can find that in the description of this episode, along with my amazing travel tips that are free. And also you can check out my Mythical Creatures coloring book. You can find all of that in the description. So there you have it, awesome legend seekers. The truth about cats and the Salem witch trials, and dogs as well. While they may have prowled the streets of Salem as silent witnesses to history, cats' roles in history remain a mystery. A big shout out to my awesome sister for her monster voice, Teresa for her stellar intro, Zap Splat for the fun sounds, and the amazing musicians Giulio Fazio, Ilya Kuznetsov, Taurus, and Ben McElroy. You all help make my podcast shine even more than ever. Thank you all so much. Remember, when history mixes with hysteria, truth can be stranger than fiction. Keep the spirit of Salem alive, not with fear, but with curiosity, understanding, and maybe just a faint sprinkle of magic. Thanks for tuning in to this bewitching episode. Until next time, cuddle your cute furry pets, stay curious, keep those fun magical vibes, and never stop exploring the world's interesting mysteries.